Shrima Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are moving on to the sixth chapter of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There are seven chapters, and we have this whole week really to do six and seven, but because the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is considerably longer than the first part, I'll probably try to finish this first part today and tomorrow if I can, and then go on to the second part on Wednesday or Thursday perhaps, just so we can get a start on it. But the test on Friday will only be on the first part. And it's basically just going to be about, well, you'll need to know the different people who Narada approaches. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Part 1, Chapter 6. Narada Muni arrives in, well, he's already arrived in Dwarka, but he arrives in the inner chambers of the main palace in Dwarka, having been sent by Maharaj Ugrasena, because so many of the Yadus were waiting there in the Sudharma assembly hall for a long time, but Krishna hadn't come. So Narada was inspired to go and meet Uddhava, who he had been told was the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. And Ugrasena said, while you're at it, can you see if you can get Krishna to come so that we can start our meeting? So, Narada, every time he visits the next person, he becomes more ecstatic. So as he goes to meet Uddhava, he is completely overwhelmed. He's sometimes tripping and falling on the ground, sometimes standing stunned and motionless. Sometimes his body is trembling, sometimes he's rolling on the ground, sometimes he's crying as if in great distress. Sometimes shouting and jumping, sometimes singing and dancing. Just most astonishing display of symptoms of transcendental ecstasy. And in fact, they are described as, it is described at least, that all the transformations of priceless Krishna prema converged in Narada's body at once. They were all there. Yes, so Narada himself is pretty advanced devotee. All the symptoms of love of God were simultaneously present as he went to meet Uddhava. Maharaj Parikshit, who is reciting this to his mother Uttara, tells her, listen carefully. In other words, you're about to hear something special now, something extra special. So, when Narada Muni walked in, he found out, when he walked into those inner chambers, then he found out Krishna was, something was wrong with Krishna. He was disturbed, actually, and he was still sleeping. Sometimes it happens to devotees if life is getting a little tough. It's a little hard to get them up for mongolarity or something like that. Anyway, Krishna was very disturbed, actually. He was extremely disturbed. And it's already perhaps the middle of the day or something like that, but he's still not up yet. He's lying on the bed or on the floor, having fallen off the bed. He's lying there with the sheets just over him, just spread-eagled on the ground. And Uddhava has been with him, trying to rouse him and encourage him and cajole him that, come on, let's go, let's get into it. Yeah, let's get it together. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. So he gave up. So Uddhava, he came out of Krishna's quarters, out into the next room, and there were all the very, very close associates, like Lord Balaram and Devaki, Rukmini, Satyabhama, Rohini, people like this, were there with Uddhava. And there were many people, actually, many servants and many different associates and assistants. And one rather, in fact, very intriguing character who, those of you who have not read Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you may not have been introduced to yet in your time in Krishna consciousness so far, but her name is Padmavati. She is the queen, the wife of Ugrasena, who is the king of the Yadus, the king of Dwarka, and the father of Kamsa. So she is the mother of Kamsa. Actually, he's not the father of Kamsa, but we'll come to that shortly. But officially, he is at least the husband of the mother of Kamsa, and was at the time that he was born. Although he is not the father of this outrageous demon Kamsa. Narada Muni came in there, just outside Krishna's rooms, and there was Uddhava and Balaram and Rohini and Rukmini and Satyabhama and Devaki and various others and Padmavati. They're all in a state of shock because of the condition of Krishna. It is really very disturbing. He is disturbed, and they're disturbed because he's disturbed, but really disturbed. So they saw Narada Muni coming in this most extraordinary condition. All the symptoms of Krishna Prema just completely taking charge of him simultaneously, just ruled by the emotions of love of God, the ecstasy of love of God. So they saw, here comes Narada Muni acting in very extraordinary ways. So they tried to calm him down to some extent. They were not able to. They told him, we've never seen you like this before. In other words, two things. They had seen him before. He was no stranger to Dwarka. He gets around, although he's generally regarded as a resident of Vaikuntha, but Narada Muni, he does get around. So they knew Narada Muni there in Dwarka. And second thing, they had never seen him in that condition. So, perhaps he had never been in that condition before. But it was really most astonishing. So Narada, completely overwhelmed with these ecstatic symptoms, came in, threw himself on the ground, started pleading with everyone that, please, I beg you, with plaintive words, please allow me to meet Uddhava, who was just right there. But Narada Muni didn't see him because he was just in too much of a state of consciousness. So Narada is begging one after the other, please allow me, help me to meet Uddhava and make my life complete. Or if I cannot meet him, if that is too much to ask, at least let me have one particle of dust from his lotus feet, and I will consider my life to have been a success, to be a success. This is the appeal of Narada Muni regarding Uddhava. So then, as usual, Narada Muni goes into very enthusiastic glorification of Uddhava and his different qualifications as far as being the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy, different symptoms and evidences for that, for being the greatest devotee and the true recipient of the Lord's supreme mercy. So he gives some very important reasons, and they're highly authorized. I think all of them, or so many of them at least, are coming directly from Krishna himself in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna glorifies Uddhava, particularly in the 11th canto, but elsewhere also. Particularly in the 11th canto, Lord Krishna glorifies Uddhava very highly. So there are a number of points. Uddhava says that the Lord says, Krishna says, that Uddhava is one of his expansions. That's 11, 16, 29. Vasudevo Bhagavatam Twam Tu Bhagavateshvaham. Among those entitled to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudev. And you, Uddhava, indeed represent me among the devotees. Yes. So, he's representing Krishna. He's a type of expansion of Krishna. Krishna is showing his presence. Krishna is showing his own presence amongst the devotees in the form of Uddhava. Of course, Uddhava is not Vishnu Tattva, but in terms of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, oneness and difference, then there is a certain degree of oneness there between him and Krishna. We talked about that the other day, how he looks like Krishna, people mistake him for Krishna, he's more beautiful than Pradyumna. Yeah. Why does he look like Krishna? Why is he blackish blue? Because he's always absorbed in thinking of Krishna. So he's always got that, he's in that Krishnized state. So that was one thing, that the Lord calls him one of his own expansions in 11:16:29. Then the Lord says that no one is more dear to him than Uddhava. This is 11:14:15. Na tata me priyatama atma yonir na shankara na cha sankarshano na shriya Naivatma Nayata Bhavan. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Balaram, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self is as dear to me as you. Uddhava is a very special devotee. Actually, it is a fact that he is the highest devotee outside of Vrindavan. He is a very special person. So here, the Lord is saying that neither Lord Brahma, who is a direct son of his, nor Lord Shiva, who is a personal friend of his, nor Lord Balaram, who is directly his brother, nor the goddess of fortune, who is directly his wife, nor even himself is as dear to him as Uddhava is dear to him. So, you know, these are very important. He's chosen very specific important people and made the point that Uddhava is more dear than all of them. In his commentary on this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, in his Bhagavatam commentary to 11.14.15, Sridhar Swami, the famous commentator, says that when Lord Krishna spoke this particular verse to Uddhava, he was intending saying, the last line is, Naivatma cha yata bhavan. Bhavan means you. It's a very respectful way of saying you. It's like saying your good self or sir, something like that. It's a respectful mode of address. So he says that when Lord Krishna spoke this, he intended saying, Naivatma cha yata bhakta, that all these different people, Brahma, Shiva, and so on, none of them are more dear to me or as dear to me as you devotees, as the devotees, meaning the topmost devotees. But the Lord was so ecstatic in the company of Uddhava that in that ecstasy of friendship with Uddhava, at the last moment, he just switched it to Yata Bhavan. And yeah. So an interesting point is made, which I didn't draw your attention to a few days ago when we were doing the third chapter, when the Lord is talking about Sanatan Goswami in his commentary on verse 84 in the third chapter, he quotes this verse when he is praising Prahlad. In other words, this verse can be used in relation to other devotees, but it most appropriately, outside of Vrindavan at least, can be applied to Uddhava, and in fact in a direct sense it was spoken by the Lord to Uddhava. So no one is more dear to the Lord than Uddhava, according to the Lord. Then, Uddhava's good fortune, which is born of Krishna's mercy, is described by the Lord himself in Shastra. So 11.11.49. My dear Uddhava, O beloved of the Yadu dynasty, because you are my servant, well-wisher, and friend, I shall now speak to you the most confidential knowledge. Please hear as I explain these great mysteries to you. So, the Lord See, this is the 11th canto. This is the Uddhava Gita. And there is Bhagavad Gita, of course. We all know Bhagavad Gita very well. And that is very important. Krishna speaks the same verse, or the wording is, the Sanskrit wording is not exactly the same, but the message is the same. Sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta paratana bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam cheta dutamam. This very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you. Because you're my devotee and my friend, therefore you can enter into the mystery of this understanding. So in this verse, this is now Uddhava Gita, it's basically the same thing as being said. Because you're my servant, well-wisher and friend, I shall now speak to you the most confidential knowledge. So you've got Bhagavad Gita, but Uddhava Gita is like a step further. The two are connected. Uddhava Gita is like going on from Bhagavad Gita, actually. So, in other words, the fact that the Lord has spoken, the Lord has chosen to speak this more advanced knowledge to Uddhava indicates the special position of Uddhava, even above Arjuna, and Arjuna is already very special indeed. So that is an example of Uddhava's good fortune, born of the mercy of the Lord, as described by the Lord himself. Then there's another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.31. Na Uddhava vapi manyuno yadgunar nardita prabhu ato madvayanam lokam grahayan ihatishta tu. Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way, because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore he may remain in this world to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So just look at that. Krishna is saying he's not even inferior to me in any way. So from different angles of vision, all of them very important, Narada Muni has substantiated the good fortune and highly advanced position of Uddhava, who happened to be there, although Narada Muni hadn't seen him yet. So Uddhava came forward, grasped hold of Narada Muni's feet, embraced his lotus feet. You know, we see devotees sometimes come and touch each other's feet. I don't think we normally see devotees embrace other devotees' feet in, you know, like extremely heartfelt ways, not, you know, joking or sort of, you know, in that sort of jolly mood of friendship and so on, but really from the heart. So Uddhava, he did that. He embraced the lotus feet of Narada Muni, and he held on to them for a while. And while he was doing that, he was thinking of many other devotees who he considered to be more fortunate than himself. And as he was doing that, he cried helplessly, thinking himself the most fallen, the most wretched and unqualified. However, then he stopped and composed himself and told Narada, actually, what you have said is true. Yes. Because it's all coming from the Lord himself. So how could it be otherwise? And he says that Even the Lord Himself has told me that whatever you say is true. You are the most intelligent. But then he says, I'll just read what he actually says. Here and there now, I'll read a few excerpts because some very interesting points coming up, and they're being expressed extremely, very beautifully, very nicely. And our translator, Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, has put them so extremely nicely. It is really most wonderful. So here then Uddhava says, he is, of course, responding to Narada's claims that he is the most fortunate. So he says, in my recent trip to Vraja, what I saw took my pride in my special good fortune and suddenly crushed it to dust. Since then, I have understood the amazing sweetness of Krishna's mercy, of love for him, and of those who possess that love. Just by what I saw in Vraja, I came to be most blessed. I was swept away in an ocean of ecstasy, thinking myself completely favored by the Lord, a recipient of his most extreme mercy. So what did he see? Well, he saw particularly the gopis. He doesn't talk about that exactly yet. Then he is referring to, well, then he says that after I saw that, those things, he feels he cannot describe it, actually. This is how Sanatana Goswami presents it. He feels he cannot say it, but he just says, what I experienced. What he experienced, he can't say. But he did say it already in two verses from the Bhagavatam. Among all persons on earth, these cowherd women alone have actually perfected their embodied lives, for they have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Lord Govinda. Their pure love is hankered after by those who fear material existence, by great sages, and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narrations of the infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as a high-class Brahman, or even as Lord Brahma himself? The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members who are very difficult to give up, and have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Oh, let me be fortunate enough to be one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. So Uddhava speaks like this, and then he tells Narada, he says, I beg you again and again, I appeal to you, please do not ask me any more about this. There may be undesirable consequences. Now, we might be a little surprised to hear that. stop telling me about Krishna. Stop telling me about the devotees, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Don't tell me, don't ask me anymore. The consequences may be very bad. So, this is the problem.